Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guests are from the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services, known as PCHAS. Josh Smith is a child and family specialist, and Allison Harris is the Senior Development Officer for Central Texas. So we're going to find out about Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services, PCHAS, that's how they're known, and what they do in our community. Allison, how did you get started? Because you're over 100 years, your agency is over 100 years old.
Right. We started in 1903 when a mother who was dying of tuberculosis in Dallas went to the First Presbyterian Church and asked the pastor to help her and her children as she was dying. And so the women of the church got together and rented a home and started the orphanage known as, that we now know as, Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services. And so we've grown since then, but we still provide Christ-centered care and support to children and families in need, just like we did in 1903.
So you started as an orphanage.
Yes, ma'am.
And then how did it evolve over the century?
Just as care for children has evolved, we started as an orphanage. We then became primarily group homes. And then in the last 20 years or so, our leadership saw that what could we do to help children and families before they get involved in foster care, and where we think group home care is very important. But if we could intervene with those families and help them before all the traumatic events occur, that might be our best bet for helping children and families. Mm-hmm. And so that's primarily the type of work that we do here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. We started our programs in San Antonio in 1976, and it's grown from there. We purchased a campus not far from here in the medical center area and in the 90s, and we've just sort of evolved our programming to help children and families in need.
So you mentioned you started in Dallas. You're here in San Antonio. Where else will people find PCHAS?
All over the state of Texas, Louisiana, and Missouri. We have programs in Texas and Austin and Dallas and Fort Worth and a lot of smaller communities like Corsicana or Longview in Wichita Falls. And then we're in Baton Rouge in New Orleans, and then in several parts of Missouri as well.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do in San Antonio? That's where, I guess that's a question for Josh, the programs you offer in San Antonio.
Yes, we have four different programs that we offer here in San Antonio. We have our child and family program. We have our transitional living program. We have our single parent program. Then we have our educational program. So I'll start with our child and family program because that one's kind of closest to me since I'm the social worker for that program. Our child and family program is a program to where we actually go into the home and work with families. It's a unique program in the sense that there is no cost to the families. We don't ask families to give any financial compensation for that program. We don't bill any private insurance or Medicaid for that program. So that program is completely privately funded. So it gives us a lot of opportunity to work with families that, you know, may not qualify for some other services in the community.
What's going on with the family that they need help, and how do they find you?
That's a great question. So typically, the families that we work with in the Child and Family Program are experiencing some type of crisis. Now, that crisis could look like a lot of things. You know, maybe it's a single parent who is strapped for time and looking for additional resources. Maybe that is a foster family that has had a child placed with them in foster care and is dealing with some difficult behaviors with that child, and they're looking for some help. It could be a family that just maybe the child experienced trauma in some way, and that parent is looking for counseling for their child. So we deal with a lot of different situations in that program. Most of the referrals come from the San Antonio community, through the school system, through social workers at the hospitals, social workers at schools, as well as other nonprofit agencies in the community. That's one great thing about San Antonio is a lot of the nonprofits here, we try to work together. And when a family comes to one and maybe they don't have the proper services or the services that meet that family's need, they'll try and refer them out. So we get referrals from a lot of different places. But the Child and Family Program is predominantly therapeutic services. So we go in, we offer counseling to the parent or the child, depending on the need. We also have a strong emphasis on a therapeutic program called Trust-Based Relational Intervention, or as we call it, TBRI. TBRI is an evidence-based trauma-informed care model that came out of TCU, and we've been doing that at Peaches for quite a while now. And it's a holistic approach where we go in and we work with families, whether that is biological parents, foster care parents, a caregiver like an aunt, an uncle, or a grandma, to where the kids have been through some type of significant trauma. And we go in and we walk beside that family and we train them in this model to better meet that child's need, to help them to begin to heal and move in a more positive direction. So that's kind of the Child and Family Program in a brief nutshell there.
Do you have to be Presbyterian to have access to these services? Because you are Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services.
That's a great question. No, you do not. We are a faith-based agency. So what that means for us is that if your faith, if your religion, if your spirituality is important to you, we want to be able to incorporate that into our work with you. But it is not a requirement to be of any type of faith, religion, or spirituality for any type of our services. One of the main requirements in the Child and Family Program is that the family has at least one child in their home, ages infant to 17. So if they have at least one child in the home, then we can work with that family. Now, there is an exception. If it's an expecting mother, we can work with that mother. She might need some additional resources or maybe looking for some parenting education type of situation. So we can work with some expecting mothers in the Child and Family Program as well. But since we don't have a lot of other requirements, that's one of the main requirements, is that the family has to have at least one child in their home so we can work with them.
What are the big issues with children these days? And does it reflect a change in society over time?
That's a good question. So I think a lot of the families that I work with, and some of this is probably my own experience, my own background, and sort of what I've been trained in, is just working with children that have experienced trauma. Sometimes that trauma comes in the form of abuse, so the child's been involved with the foster care system. Sometimes that trauma comes through, maybe the family's going through a very difficult divorce, or maybe the child went through a natural disaster, like, for example, like Hurricane Harvey down in the Houston area. I know that some of our workers there have had to deal with issues in related to that. So what we often work with in our program is children that have been through some type of trauma. And I think that trauma can happen in a lot of different settings in a lot of different ways. And so we see that that's pretty common in working with the families that through our Child and Family Program.
And you can help children get over it, get past it, get through it?
Well, I think when you look at trauma, and the more we continue to get evidence-based research, and the more we can continue to work with these families, I think in addressing trauma, it's really about helping these children form positive relationships. And therapy is one part of that. There's different models and there's different things that you can do with them. So I kind of look at it as one tool in the toolbox. Therapy can go so far and help these kids begin to heal. I think it's a really important aspect, but it's also about supporting these families and helping them understand that, you know, it matters how you respond to the children in your home. It matters how their teachers respond to them at school. It matters how, you know, they're at church, you know, how they're interacting with other kids and adults there. So it's really the more we learn about trauma, the more we realize that it's really a community effort to help these children heal. And I think our Child and Family Program just is one wheel in the cog there to help support these families when they begin this crisis.
Mm-hmm. And now you've got, so the other programs, you've got the Single Parent Family Education and Transitional Living.
Yes. So let me go to our single parent program next. Our single parent program is a program that started here in San Antonio a little over 3 years ago. The program is based on our campus. So single mothers can come and live with their children on our campus. And typically, Those moms stay from anywhere from about 12 to 24 months. So it's more of a program based on helping those families become self-sufficient. That's what we want to support them through. So
are they homeless to start with, or just in a difficult situation?
So sometimes the families are homeless. So sometimes they have been in a shelter, a more temporary shelter here in the San Antonio area, or sometimes it's even from another city. So sometimes the families are homeless, but not always. Other times they're just in a very difficult situation. So maybe they've been living with friends or family, kind of moving from place to place on a frequent basis. Or maybe they were in a domestic violence situation that they are trying to get out of and looking for a fresh start. So it really varies from family to family. But those are the most kind of common things that are occurring with the families that come to us for that single parent program.
So they move into, you have a house or a dorm, or what's it like?
Good question. So we always encourage the moms to come out and see our facility before they make a decision and go through the interview process, because we're actually located on 23 acres here in sort of the heart of San Antonio. Beautiful land, deer running around. As far as the facility itself, it's actually a 5,000 square foot plus home. So the community spaces are shared. So living, cooking areas, the families share those spots. And then depending on the family size, they have their own bedroom or multiple bedrooms, depending on, you know, the children, what the ages are, and that type of thing. And that's kind of what the setup looks like for the single parent program.
Mm-hmm. And so you help guide them over time just to have a stable family and be a productive person? Or what do you do for those year to 2 years that they're there?
Yes. So when they come in, they are assigned a case manager, and that case manager will help them with a lot of the issues that you just brought about. So often the families come in, sometimes the mom is working, sometimes she's not. There is a strong focus on the families either having to work full-time, do school full-time education, or a combination of both. Most of our moms in the single parent program are usually working full time, but we also help them arrange childcare. I know that's a very big obstacle for single parents in general sometimes, is finding that reliable childcare so they can go to work. So we are able to help them set that up. Often, as I mentioned before, a lot of their children and even sometimes the moms themselves have experienced trauma in some way. So we also want to make sure that they're connected to the right therapeutic services. So sometimes we can actually offer that through our child and family program. Other times it's getting those moms connected to other resources in the community that can meet their needs as far as from a counseling aspect. We also work with them on other areas. You know, sometimes they want to learn more about, you know, providing healthy meals for their children. Or, you know, some of them are looking to kind of further their financial education and helping them, you know, save some money. Again, going back to self-sufficiency, we want them to be able, when they leave our program, to be able to move into safe and stable housing that will provide for them and their children. So just a strong emphasis on self-sufficiency there.
Now, who decides when they leave? Do y'all decide, like, okay, you've come far enough, or you've done everything we can for you, or does the person in the program say, you know, I think I'm ready?
A little bit of all of that. In the ideal situation, hopefully when they come in, we set some goals with them. We talk about those goals regularly and help them work towards those goals. So those are goals that the client sets themselves. And hopefully as they reach those goals, the family, the client comes to the conclusion like, hey, I'm ready to do this. I think I have enough money saved. I've held a job for a good amount of time, and I think I'm ready to move into my own place. So in a lot of our moms experience that. We've had a good success rate as far as them being able to move back into the community, whether that's through public housing or through finding their own apartment. It kind of varies. Now, occasionally, sometimes we have had clients that maybe they're not following the guidelines of our program, and we try and work with them to address that. If they continue to not be able to meet those requirements, then we may be asked to leave. But for the majority of the time, we really focus on those goals and helping them reach those, and finding ways to support those families through those challenges. It is kind of our our main goal in that program.
So I guess you're thrilled when they leave because that means they've taken a big step toward being self-sufficient.
Absolutely. It's such a great feeling when we see a mom come in with her kids and be able to, you know, meet her goals and move in a direction and then leave our campus into a stable environment. And one of the other things is that I feel like I should mention is that often sometimes those families still need continued support. So when they leave their campus, we try and make sure that if there is additional resources that may continue to help them in the community, that we keep them connected there, as well as our services can overlap. So if they leave our campus, then they actually would then qualify for our child and family program. So maybe their child needs some additional counseling. So our child and family worker can go in and continue to do that with the family. So we try and support them through the entire process, even after they leave our campus.
So you're going to be their lifeline, really?
That's our goal. Yes, absolutely. We want families to know that, hey, we're here to support you. And guide you and help you in any way, you know, that we can through our services.
Our guest this morning, Josh Smith, he's a child and family specialist with PCHES, the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services here in San Antonio. Allison Harris is the Senior Development Officer for Central Texas. So we're talking about the programs that they have on their San Antonio campus. And you said it's a country-like setting in the middle of the city, in the medical center. A lot of acreage, very nice. Sounds very serene. Kind of like you leave the city and go into this nice, peaceful area where good things are happening?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful campus. I'm lucky enough to have my office there. It's always great to be able to look out and see the deer running around. I think it also brings just a lot of peacefulness for our families, maybe that have come from chaotic environments. It's really just a campus that allows those families to alleviate some of their stress, I think, in a lot of ways. Allison, did you have anything to add about campus?
It's one of my favorite places in San Antonio. You know, you drive through traffic and then all of a sudden you're in this ranch-like setting that you're reminded that you really are in the hill country in the middle of the city. And I definitely think our families living there feel the same way, that they have chaotic lives, but then they're able to come home to a place that's peaceful and they can really just find their inner strengths there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then so your other programs, we've talked about two of your four programs in San Antonio.
Yes. Our third program is our Transitional Living Program. And that is a program also housed on our campus, similar to the single parent program that I mentioned before. It's in a separate house, another 5,000 square foot plus house. And that program is designed for young females ages 18 to 24, mostly that have aged out of the foster care system. So often when children turn 18, the term is called aging out of foster care. Now, they can choose to stay in foster care for an additional 3 years if they want to, but that is their choice. And the majority of children don't choose to do that.
Because they're 18, and when you're 18, you just want to get away, don't you?
Exactly. Doesn't matter where you come from, you don't need to have an adult telling you what to do.
Right. So, but then here you are 18, alone mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for children that are aging out of foster care, they often don't have the support systems that other children have at that age. And so we saw a need in the community to be able to support those children. So that program is to meet that need, ages 18 to 24. Now, I will add in there, we started that program a little over 3 years ago, and our requirement was for the young ladies to have aged out of foster care. But we try and listen to the community. And what happened was we started getting referrals for children that hadn't necessarily aged out of foster care, but were in similar situations. So maybe they didn't have very strong family support. Maybe they were what we call couch surfing. So going from friend to friend, place to place, not really having a permanent housing situation. And so after thinking about it and looking at the community and realizing that we were receiving these referrals is that we kind of opened our requirements there. And so the young ladies do not necessarily have to have aged out of foster care, even though that the majority of our referrals still come that way. But if you're in that age range and you're in a difficult situation, we're willing to talk with you and see if you would be a good fit for our program.
So how does your program work? So you've got somebody who turned 18 and they decide, you know, maybe they've been out on their own and it's a rough, cold, cruel world out there. So they come to you and say, you know, I need a little help here.
Yeah. So we get referrals through a variety of ways, often through the community, other agencies that are connected to these ladies in some way, or even through child protective services. If a child is aging out, sometimes they're talking about, hey, what's your plan? What are you going to do when you turn 18? And so sometimes referrals come through CPS. Sometimes it's just through 211. Sometimes these young ladies have called 211 asking for information and they get led to us that way. But this program's focus is much like the other one I mentioned, is we want to help these young ladies become self-sufficient. So again, they're assigned a case manager when they come in, and we talk to them about, what is your plan? Do you want to go to school? Do you want to work full-time? What type of education would you get, would like to have? And so there's a strong emphasis on them working or furthering their education, or a combination of both. I would say most of the clients we've had in the transitional living program do a combination of both. Mm-hmm. They're looking to do some school, but at the same time, they also need income in some way. So they're working at least part-time to support themselves.
Because you don't give them money in the transitional living program, do you? Do you give them money, or you just give you room and board here?
Typically, no, we do not give them money in that sense. Now we realize that they come in sometimes with some challenges, so we are able to support them, especially in the beginning, in some other ways. So if you know they're struggling to get food, those type of things, then we can help with them with that. But in the long term, we want to look at, okay, how are you going to be able to do this on your own? So maybe that's helping them apply for government assistance to see if they qualify, because sometimes they don't even know that they're eligible for those options. So we'll help them do that. Or, you know, talk to them about employment and help them to find a job and start working. We do ask that all of our clients on campus pay a rent fee for living there. Now, that rent fee is based on what the client can afford at their time. And that rent, we call it a rent savings program, because the rent that they pay us actually goes into a savings account for them that they can't access unless it's a emergency situation. And that savings account actually goes back to them when they leave our program. And the thought there is that way they're saving money to help with some of those expenses when they leave. Mm-hmm. A down payment on our apartment, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully having 3 or 4 months rent that they don't have to worry about. So we help them in that financial aspect as well.
It's like their emergency fund. You build up an emergency fund for them.
Exactly. And it's a great way to start talking to them about finances and helping them to save money and look at, like, okay, well, these are my expenses and this is my income. What can I afford? Those type of things. So it's just a good way to kind of help them have that continued focus on self-sufficiency.
And then the last one of your programs?
Yes, the educational program is actually a program we basically offer statewide. And that is for clients that are in any of our other programs. We have some staff that will actually come in and help them navigate when they're dealing with issues related to education. So let's say that we have a client who's in the child and family program that's having some difficulty in school. We have staff that we can call here at PCHAS and say, hey, how do we navigate this situation with the school? And they're able to come in and work with us on that issue. Or maybe it is we have a 17-year-old in our single parent program, and she's getting ready to hopefully go to college, apply for the FAFSA, do all of those things that you do at that age. And that educational person can come in and guide them through that process. So they're really a tool to be able to help us meet the educational needs of the children that we serve in all of our other programs.
Mm-hmm. And then how are y'all supported? Who pays for the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services and Programs?
Well, our San Antonio programs are privately funded, so we get funding from the community and from grants from foundations in the area and throughout Texas, as well as churches provide financial support. We're grateful for a lot of our church partnerships here in San Antonio, but that's what's special about this program is we do not receive any government funding to run these homes or pay salaries for people like Josh, that it's community support. Mm-hmm. We do fundraising campaigns throughout the year, and we actually have a fundraising luncheon happening here in San Antonio on October 18th. And you can go and learn more about it on our website, which is pchas.org.
And that's PCHAS.
org. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. And we can get you hooked up and invited to go to this event. It's actually a free event to attend.
Mm-hmm. But we'll bring your checkbook.
But bring your checkbook. That would be nice. We'll give you a pen. But it's, and you'll hear from our clients and they'll tell their stories and the impact that PHS has made in their lives. And it's just a really wonderful time to come together. And
so you're always looking for donations, I'm going to assume.
Yes, ma'am. We always are looking for donations. We wouldn't be here without the support of the community. And we're here for the community as well. So we accept donations in the mail, or you can go onto our website and donate there, or just, you know, give us a call and we can see how we can help you help us.
Now, and what are other ways that people can help you? And are there volunteer opportunities?
Yes, we do have volunteer opportunities. There is, you know, an application process and a background check, and we do provide training to our volunteers just so they know what to expect when they're working with our clients and to make sure everyone's a right fit. But we definitely welcome volunteer help, maybe providing childcare while we have education groups for our moms. We do parenting classes, so we're always in need of childcare, or just help us organize things around the office. I think everyone has different gifts they can provide, and we definitely welcome that. If someone is interested in volunteering, they can go to our website, phas.org, phas.org, and just click on the volunteer tab, and we have a volunteer coordinator who can get them the application and get the process started and see where they might want to fit in. And then same thing, if anyone wants to help out with our luncheon in October or host a table and invite guests, we are more than welcome to talk with them and see what they can do. And you can find that information as well on our website.
PCHAS.org.
PCHAS.org.
PCHAS.org. Yes, so what else do you want people to know about PCHAS, the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services?
You know, I think Josh talked a lot about the details of what we do, and the big three themes of what we do are that all of our programs are goal-driven. Our clients set goals for themselves, and then you get to watch the young women achieve those goals. And that's such an amazing, amazing thing to witness for anyone, even if your goal is to buy a car or to actually have a savings account, that these young women are doing that for themselves. And then we are strength focused. So we're looking at if a mom comes into our program and is looking for a job, we'll help them find jobs that fit their strengths and their skills. And so then they can be the best parent they possibly can be for their children. And then we're also family centered, which is very clear in our single parent home, because we want our moms to be the best mom that they can be for their child. So the goals that they're setting are really for them to be better parents and to help their children grow into strong adults as well. And then we have that philosophy of care throughout our entire programs, and which is just, it's amazing to watch.
And Josh?
I think Allison stated all of that really well. The only other thing that comes to my mind and just thinking about San Antonio and our programs here is that we just want to always be part of the support and part of the solution in helping families in need here in San Antonio, whether that be through the Child and Family Program or our single parent program. We want to walk alongside all of the agencies and providers that are working with these families, because what you find is often families aren't just receiving services just through PCHAS or just through another agency in the community. It's often a community effort, and I think that's important to us at PCHAS to collaborate, to look at these family strengths, as Allison mentioned. How can we best utilize those strengths and meet those families' needs for them to grow and to heal and become more self-sufficient? So I think that's important for us at PCHAS as well, just kind of taking sometimes an out-of-the-box approach, being strength-focused in looking at what's the best way that we can help this family, whether it's through our services or getting them connected to someone else in the community that can help them.
And if people need to reach you, how do they reach you?
That's a great question. So as we mentioned before, if you get on our website, pchas.org, that's probably a great place to start, because you can actually find all of our listings there. Additionally, if you're looking for the child and family program here in San Antonio, the direct line is 210-832-9882. That'll get you to the child and family program here in San Antonio. And if that's not the program you're looking for, we can definitely get you connected to where what you are looking for. So that's probably the best place to start.
Absolutely. And we have a 1-800 number, which will direct someone to all of our programs across the state. And that is 1-800-888-1904. But you can also go to our website and get that information as well.
I want to thank you both for stopping by this morning. Josh Smith, he's the Child and Family Specialist, and Allison Harris, Senior Development Officer for Central Texas, PCHAS, the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.